Opportunity to be in the house of the Lord one more time, to break bread with you from his word, to be fed of his word, to be strengthened by his word, to be led of his word. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor for this opportunity to stand before you on this great day, which is Sunday morning, to fellowship with my brothers and sisters, to praise and to worship you and to glorify you for who you are. We give you praise for watching over us throughout this past week, how you kept us from the seen and unseen danger. We lift you up today, God, because you're God all by yourself. Your word lets us to know that there is no other God beside you. We give you praise because you will never change. You will remain the same. You are God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we say thank you, Lord, for delivering us out of the hands of the enemy, changing the lifestyle that we had and the way we was going. We praise you for an opportunity that we come boldly to the throne of grace to give you glory, praise, and honor in the life that we live. Bless your Sunday school today. Bless your students. Bless the teacher, God. You speak to our heart through your word and give us encouragement throughout our day as we walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to continue our study in the book of Acts. We're in chapter 22 at this time, so I'm going to read a few scriptures and then we'll get into the lessons. Apostolic principles from the book of Acts is what we've been talking about. The way that we live, how we came into acquaintance with the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he has changed our life by us having a relationship with him and being able to glorify him in the life that we live and being a witness, not just inside the walls, but on the outside of the walls with our coworkers, our family, our neighbors, people we come in contact with. Those are the ones that we should be witnessing to, sharing with them how good God is and what God has done for us. So in chapter 22 of the book of Acts, here Paul began to talk about his relationship. He says, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more the silence. In other words, when he spoke to them in their tongue, they remained silent because they wanted to hear what he had to say. They wanted to hear what he was going to express to them in his defense. Now, we know the life of Paul. We know how that Paul was Saul in the beginning and how that he persecuted the church. And like Saul, one day God had to get our attention, but not like his. God has gotten our attention in different ways. But Saul was one that was zealous. We know that he was an educated man. He was a smart man. He was 100% and wanted to do what he was set out to do. And that was to put Christians to death or put them in jail or have them hung, dragged, or whatever he felt that would need it because of what they believed. You see, one thing about this life that we live, you got to realize that when you make a commitment to God, and you sincerely walk in that commitment, no matter what the devil try to do to you or individuals, God will protect you. God will keep you. God will sustain you. One thing we realize is this, that there is life after death. I mean, if we lose our life here for the sake of Christ, that's not the end of it. If we have lived and walked with God and have presented our bodies a living sacrifice and became that outpouring sacrifice that Paul talks about, then we can rise in eternity with God. When the great day of judgment take place, we don't have to worry about when we stand before him, "Depart from me, ye that are workers of iniquity, for I know you not." That's why it's very important for us today to have a relationship with him. It's very important for us today to know who we serve. You know how devastated it is. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced in life that someone or father, mother, someone had just said, "You know what? I don't want to have nothing to do with you. You are cut off. I'm cutting you off. I'm leaving you alone." That's devastating to some people. You hear others' testimonies about that. But see, how devastating will it be for us if we have the word of God and we don't abide by it? We don't live by it. So it's nobody's fault but ours if we don't make it to heaven. So when Saul was converted to Paul, now he's given a defense about the life that he's living, the God he's preaching about, the God that he's teaching about. In verse 3, he said, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, in a city, Silica, yet brought up in the city at the fear of the Gamaliel, and taught, just a minute, hold, let me get my glasses on. The light is a little glaring for me. So I can see it clearly. All right. I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarshish in a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. And also the high priest doeth bear with me witness, and all these and all the estates of the elders, from which also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for punishment. This man was zealous. Saints of God, if we had that determination, we had that zealousness that Paul had to put Christians to death, to bring them bound and cast them into prison and put them into lion's den and have them drugged down the street. If we had that kind of zealousness in our heart and in our life to witness to somebody about who Jesus is. We're living in a day and time we can't be afraid to share our testimony. We can't be afraid to tell somebody, Jesus delivered me from alcohol. We can't be afraid to tell somebody Jesus delivered me off of smoking marijuana, drinking and all, and living a promiscuous life outside of the life that I should have been living. We should be able to tell somebody where God brought us from. Because when we come in contact with these people, it's our responsibility to share with them what God has done in our life. There are people out there, each one of us have a different walk of life. But our testimony is still the same. Jesus saved me. Jesus delivered me. Jesus set me free from the sin that I was bound. Jesus made me whole. He healed me. He gave me a sound mind. You see, the thing about it is we can't be afraid to tell who Jesus is. It's our responsibility as children of God, being born of God, to take his word and share it with those that are out there. Here, Paul is giving his testimony. He's talking about what he did in the past. He's talking about what he done. He was proud to put Christians to death. He boasted about it. He went from city to city getting letters. Hey, give me a letter. I want to persecute them the best way I know how. I want to put fear into their heart. I want them to disperse. I want them to scatter. This is what his deed was. But you see, when God get in contact with you, when God touches you, something's going to happen. A change is going to come about. What you used to do, you're not going to do it anymore. Where you used to go, you're not going to go anymore. The people you used to hang out with, you're not going to hang out with them. Because look at what happened. Well, Paul was converted, and when he went to the city and when God began to minister and use him, the Bible says he was blind for 3 days. That wasn't a permanent blindness, but he was blinded for 3 days. And the Bible says how that the man came in and ministered to him, and scales fell from his eyes. He began to see, and he ministered to him the way of Jesus Christ. Now, see, you understand this. Paul was an educated man. He knew the law. He knew God. He knew of God. You see, Christians, think about this, we'll persecute Christians. Christians will put other Christians down. But see, we shouldn't do that. That shouldn't happen in the house of God. That shouldn't take place in the body of Christ. If anything, we should be praying for one another. We should be lifting one another up. We should be in one another's corner. If our brother or sister are down and they need help, we should be there. The Bible says, how dwelleth the love of God in you? If you seeth your brother in need and shed up your bowels of compassion, how can God's love dwell in you if you do that? How can God dwell in you if you reject somebody you know that is in need? We're supposed to help our brothers and sisters beginning at the household of faith. That's his word. If we're connected to Jesus Christ and if we are his children, we are his servants, then it's our responsibility to live that lifestyle. That's why here, what we're going to talk about, it says all through the word of God, there are certain passages of scripture that should stand out in our mind because of the content that is there. In our day, with biblical literacy, is at an all-time low. There ought to be something in all of those blood-bought, spirit-filled saints that rebels against the lack of the biblical knowledge. The reason why they're rebels is because they don't have a relationship with him. They don't know him. They haven't committed to him. They haven't surrendered to him. So therefore, we that are of the apostolic doctrine, we go out into the world and tell them that God can deliver you. All you have to do is be baptized in his name, be filled with his spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues. We can even show them in the word of God where we stand and what we believe and where our belief begin. But yet and still, they're going to rebel against you. Why? Because they're not ready to surrender. They're not ready to throw in the towel and say, God, I am finished with this life that I'm living. We're going to be persecuted because we are standing on the word and the foundation of God. I don't worry about what people say about me anymore. I don't care what they say. I don't care how they feel. I'm going to share with them the love of God and the salvation of God in a loving way. I don't argue. I'll discuss the word with you. If I see you getting irate or upset, I'll back off. Because, see, I don't want to make a shipwreck of something that I know that God can do in that individual's life. It's better for me to stand back and say, God, you take over. I shared it with him. You do it now. You have your way with him. You see, because Paul, in his defense, he said, this is what I've done. Now that I've been bought by a price, Jesus is in my life. I don't have to do those things. And yeah, I'm ashamed of it. I realized what I was doing was wrong. I realized how I was putting the Christians to death was wrong. I realized that everything that I was doing, the letters I was getting, the city from city to city, I was wrong. Once he was converted and been filled with the Spirit of God, he realized what he was doing was wrong. That's what we have to do, saints of God. When we're born again in this way of life, we can no longer do what we used to do. We can no longer think the way we used to think. We ought to have a mind to say, God, here I am. Help me with my daily walk with you. Help me to have a relationship with you. You see, the Bible talks, even we know the life of Paul. Paul wrote what? 3/3 of the New Testament? You see, when you commit your life to God, there's greater things God can do in your life. He will position you at times that you can reach people that nobody else can reach. He will put a word in your heart to speak life into that individual that feel like that God don't love him. God don't care about them. God don't want to be bothered with them. How many times has somebody done told you that? How many times have you heard that? That's just because they don't know God. It's one thing to talk about God, and it's another to know him. How many people we know today that talk about God? Well, I praise God, I live for God, I thank God, but the lifestyle is contrary to what they're saying. It don't line up. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. You see, when we testify to somebody, they're looking at the life we're living. They hear what we're saying, but they're looking for the proof of how you're conducting yourself, how you carry yourself. Your mannerism, your speech, your conduct, your thought, your actions. That's what they're looking at. Anytime we let somebody know we've been born again of the blood of Jesus Christ, born again of the water and filled with his spirit, you are a target. The reason why? They want to see if you're going to live what you're saying. You know, years ago, it's still prevalent today in the body of Christ. A lot of people will say, I don't want to get saved. Well, because so-and-so is a hypocrite. I don't want to be saved because so-and-so is still doing that. You know what I tell them? Get saved and show them how to live. That's the best thing we can do. Don't let what people do keep you from having a relationship with God. Don't let what people say cause you not to love God or be born again of his word. That's why Paul, in defense, saying, this is what I used to do, but I'm not like that anymore. Yes, sir, go ahead. That's right. That's a blessing. That is good right there. That is good. That is good. Because one thing we realize, saints of God, then Paul said, he said, we're walking epistles ready and known of all men. In other words, what you were just saying, Brother Hillstead, you don't have to ever say anything. Once they find out who you are, they're going to keep an eye on you. And when they realize that you are a true, dedicated, committed Christian to God, that causes them to come to you and want to know who Jesus is. That causes them to want to come to you and begin to question, how do you get to where you are? How are you dealing with what you're going through? My life is total wreck. My life is in shambles. I don't know if I'm going to make it from day to day. That's why it's important for us to know the word of God, to share with them that God can deliver them in any circumstance. He can give them the power and authority they need to tread upon serpents and scorpions, but they have to come in the same way we did. There is no two doors. There is no three doors. You can't come in the back door. You got to come in the front door. The only way to get to Jesus Christ is through the Father is through his son, Jesus. Every one of us, from the beginning of time, from the beginning when the apostles went out, started preaching, and God sent back the Holy Ghost, and it fell up on them on the day of Pentecost, we have to travel that same path. It's not, well, I accept him in my heart, believe that he was raised from the dead, and I confess him as my Lord and say, I am saved. Where is the Spirit? Where's the baptism of the Spirit? We have word that tells us we must be born of the water and of the Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. You can read that. Nicodemus went to him by night. He said, Rabbi, can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter into his mother womb the second time and be born? He had a carnal thought. He wasn't looking at it from the perspective of what Jesus was saying. Jesus was speaking spiritual, but he's looking at natural. That's why he said, the man must be born of water and of the Spirit. Every one of us has been born of the water and of the Spirit. We have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, according to his word. You got something you want to say? According to his word in Acts chapter 2. Acts 1 and 8 said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Saints of God, before we was born again, Paul is letting us know here, I had no power to keep me from doing what I was doing. Even though if I didn't want to do it, I didn't have no power to keep me from doing it. But when we receive the Holy Ghost, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you have power to say no to the devil. You have power to rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus. You have power to say, I'm not going to do this. It's a choice you made. That's why it's very important for us to know the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved. In other words, in order to know who God is, you need to study his word. You have to get the word on the inside. David said, even though the lifestyle that he lived, David wasn't flawless. He wasn't sinless, but he had a passion for the house of God. He had a passion to serve and to worship God. So what I'm telling you today is your passion got to be just that much more effective with your walk with God. You got to have a passion to say, God, my desire is to please you in every area of my life. That's why it's very important to study the word, know the word, read the word, commit the word. Because if you don't, you can't defeat the enemy. You're not going to be able to withstand the people that out there that may know the word more than you do. Saints of God, we got Bible scholars sitting up in here. But you know what? There's somebody out there that has a little bit more knowledge than we do. But one thing they don't have that we have, that is the Holy Ghost. There are also chapters in the book of Acts that should resonate with every apostolic because of the nature of doctrine that is presented in the chapter in Acts. Over the years, some of the chapters in Acts that have been cornerstone chapters for the apostolic movement have been Acts chapter 2, chapter 8, 10, and 19. Within each of these chapters, there have been doctrinal truths that have been laid out by the apostles, and then there has been subsequent evidence that accompany the biblical truth in an experiential way. This lesson deals with one of those classic passages that provides a concrete foundation for what we believe. We believe, according to Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell in the upper room. They have never seen anything like it, never experienced it. They was waiting for that day. Christ told them, go and tarry till ye be endued with power on high. They waited together, 120 people in the upper room. Saints of God, one thing you got to realize, when you get on one accord, the same mind, there is nothing that you can't do in the body of Christ. The Holy Ghost fell in that place, and that was the beginning of this apostolic doctrine that we're preaching and teaching and living and talking about today. We are witnesses. We traveled the same path they traveled. We went through the same rituals they went through for receiving salvation. In chapter 8, it talks about receiving the Holy Ghost, being baptized. Chapter 10 as well, 10 and 44, talks about the jailer and all them. Acts 19, when Paul meets John's disciples, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Their response was, we haven't heard of any Holy Ghost. Then Paul began to minister to them. Bible says he laid hands on them and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Saints of God, you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost by somebody laying hands on you. Those that are not saved and want to be saved and have truly repented in their heart and made a commitment to say, God, I'm going to do what is necessary to have you to dwell within me. You can lay hands on that person and they can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. We are the light in these last days. Our churches should be full. But you have so many churches out there that is not preaching and teaching the truth. They're allowing them to come in and do any and everything in the sanctuary. They come in dressed any kind of way. There is no accountability. That's the problem. They're not being made to be accountable for their actions or their deeds or the way they do things. We come to the house of God because we know there's accountability. We got to give an account of what we do. Then the Bible says, for every idle word, we got to give an account of. So when we stand before God, I can't tell him, God, I didn't know that. Brother so-and-so didn't tell me that. I wasn't aware of that. Was it in the word of God? No. We got to give an accountability of every word that we speak. That's why it's very important for us as children of God to be the light of the world. This lesson deals with one of those classic passages that provide a concrete foundation for what we believe. At this point, we enter a phase of the book of Acts where God brings the first Gentiles into the kingdom. Y'all know who the first Gentiles were? Cornelius. You see, one thing we see here in the Word of God is that when a person is really sincere and want to have a relationship with God and want to know who He is, God will work on this end and He'll work on this end. While He was dealing with Cornelius, He was dealing with Peter. You see, God had to get some things out of the heart of men and women so that they'll be able to minister to those that are in need. One thing that we understand and realize, saints of God, God has no respect to person. None. We are created in His image and in His likeness. Male and female created He them. In other words, We are of different color, different nationality. We see the color, we see the nationality. But the thing about it is, it shouldn't affect us how we have relationship or how we love one another. If we're born again, we're in that body of Christ. I don't care what color we are, how we look, tall, short, fat, or thin. We are in that body. We are brothers and sisters because we have been engrafted because of the blood of Jesus. If Jesus had shown separation or difference in people when in his day, the Samaritans, the Gentiles, none of us would have been born again. None of us would have the opportunity to say, God, I praise you, I worship you. We'd have been on the outside looking in. But because of the love of God, he demonstrated to us that we should love everybody equally. We should have the same love for our brothers and sisters in the house of God that Jesus had for them, even outside the house of God. But the devil, he wants to keep us separated. He wants to keep a wall of division there. That's why it's very important for us to position ourselves. Sometimes you're going to have to come in defense of your salvation, what you believe in, why you believe what you believe. Sometimes you got to testify about where God has brought you from and what he's done with you and why you where you are today. We couldn't deliver ourselves off of drugs and alcohol because we was alienated from God. The devil was our father at that time. We did whatever the flesh wanted to do. That's why the Bible said the spirit and the flesh war against each other. Saints of God, we are filled with the Holy Ghost, but I have a war on my body every day. The devil's always trying to plague me, always want me to try to get me to do something I know that is wrong. The devil always trying to get me caught up and go places I know I shouldn't be going. But because of the Holy Ghost, I can say, nope, I'm not going to do that. I am saved. I've been born of the water and the Spirit of God. I've spoken tongues and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Nope, Satan, get behind me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. That's what we have to do. That's how we defeat the enemy. That's how we stand and declare that we're going to be the light and not hung up in things that is going to keep us from having a relationship with God. So it's probably determined that the household of Cornelius was the first of the Gentile converts. However, as we unwrap the material that we have studied through this material, we have certainly had to contend with the position of the Ethiopian eunuch that Philip was translated into the desert to preach to him. Into the desert to preach to a man that is reading the word with no understanding of the word. God can do what he need to do to save that person. Brother Hillstead, you might have somebody that you've been praying for that might be 10,000 miles across the world. But that's no distance to God. When you call that person's name up in prayer, God can and will meet their need. And that's what this Ethiopian was doing. He was reading the word, but he couldn't understand it. He couldn't comprehend it. His question to Philip when Philip was translated there is, he talking about a man or himself? Philip began to preach Jesus. And once he preached Jesus, this Ethiopian man said, hey, there's water. What hindered me from being baptized? Saints of God, we have to use the word of God. We must know the word of God. You can't defeat Satan just because you might be strong physically. You might be educated mentally. But the thing about it, you need the word of God. You see, God has given us that power and authority. Think about it. When he went into the wilderness for 40 days, fasted 40 days and 40 nights, the devil came to him on three occasions. In each of those occasions, Jesus rebuked him. The authority and the power that was in his name. Thank you, brother. The authority and the power that was in his name. He rebuked the devil. The Holy Ghost that is living in you today, you have that same power. That same authority, which is the name of Jesus, you have that same Holy Ghost that lived in him is living in us. Whether we're Gentiles or Jew, we was alienated from God before we was born again of his spirit. Once we received salvation, we was engrafted in this way. And that's why I say when Cornelius received it, the Ethiopian, God translated Philip from where he was. And once he did what he was sent there to do, the Bible translated him out again. What I'm telling you, saints, when you are in need, or when somebody that is in need that you know of, you bring their name to the house of God and the brothers and sisters of the body of Christ, pray for that individual, I believe God will move. I believe God will open up doors. I believe God will move in a way that they realize that they need him. That's the issue today. People really don't want to accept that they need God. They believe they can do it by themselves. They believe that they can make it to heaven without God. There is no way. They can't do it. That's why they may rise here, and next thing you know, they're falling again. Because the flesh will get you in trouble. If we allow this flesh to override the will that is on the inside, it'll get us in trouble. See, what helps me with my walk with God and that I share with others is the scripture said the spirit is subject to the prophet. What that means is I have the Holy Ghost inside, but it's still my choice whether I sin or live right. As I said earlier, the devil plague you to try to get you to do things he know that is wrong. He lied to Adam and Eve in the garden. He's still telling that same lie today. And that lie can get the saints of God into trouble if they yield to it. See, one thing about it, even though the spirit that lives in us is subject to us, that means that God is not going to force us, push us, drag us, or make us to do what is right. Because if that was the case, he would have created us like he did the angels. They would come and go on command. He wanted somebody that would choose to serve him and worship him on their own free will. You see, you follow what I'm saying? Your own free will. He wants you to choose whether you would live for him, whether you would worship him, whether you would testify on his behalf. He wanted you to choose, because if he made us to do what is right, what good are we to him? What good are we to a God that has to make us do things the right way? That's why it's very important for you to understand the word of God. Paul was an educated man. He knew the word. He studied the word. He sat under the feet of Gamaliel. He knew. He was educated. He was a brilliant man. But see, education don't really match with God. I don't care how educated you are, God still supreme and reign. He still controls, guides, and direct. So here we have to understand that just because we are Gentiles, but we thank God that he chose the Gentiles to receive salvation as well. We got two different scenarios here in the word of God, how that one, Peter went to the house of Cornelius, preached to not just him, but the Bible said preached to his whole household. So this man, Cornelius, was telling people, look, I got a preacher coming. He's going to come preach to us and tell us what we need to do, how to be saved and be delivered and have a relationship with God. So I'm inviting all you all, my family, my friends, y'all come, because he's going to be here within 2 or 3 days. So let's get together and position ourselves in my household. Y'all get ready, his servants, his children, to receive what this man is going to preach to them. See, one thing about when Peter, during that transitional point that God was dealing with Peter, with the tent going, with the sheet going up and down those 3 or 4 times, God was letting him know, look, Peter, I'm not a respected person. I'm not prejudiced. I love all men and women the same.
told Peter, Peter, rise up and eat.
Peter responded, God, I've never eaten nothing that is unclean.
Oh, so you're calling what I created unclean?
The thing about it is that, saints of God, what I'm telling you is that when somebody is sincerely reaching out and crying and want to be saved and set free, God will meet that need. But that heart has to be right. Their heart has to be conditioned. They have to condition themselves to the point that they truly want to repent. You wonder why people come to the house of God, they cry out, they cry, but yet and still they don't receive the Holy Ghost when they turn and walk away? The conditions of their heart. Your heart has to be conditioned. It has to be ready. You have to make a commitment.
You see, God knows the intent of that individual. Why would he fill somebody with the Holy Ghost if he know they're going to go right back out and do the same thing that they did before they came through these doors?
Yes, sir.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Brother Randolph is right. They don't surrender.
And see, how many times we done said, if you don't throw up the white flag, saying I've been defeated, I've been conquered, I can't win, I see no way out, I surrender, I'll become your prisoner, you can take me. That's what they have to do to Jesus Christ. Surrender.
And we pray and we want and we believe, we desire them to be saved. But we can't save them. God is not going to save them if they haven't surrendered. And that's what has to take place. Yes, sir.
That's right. That's right.
Many times, many times. Right.
That's right.
That's right. You're a prisoner of somebody. I'd rather be a prisoner of Jesus Christ than to be a prisoner of the devil. Oh, you're a prisoner. Look at this. Look at this. When Paul and Silas was beaten and cast and was given charge to the officers to take them to the jailhouse, lock them up, and the jailer that was there, they were in his charge. Being afraid of his authority, he put them into the uttermost part of the dungeon. Changed the hand, changed the feet. He was going to make sure, boy, they ain't getting out of here today. They're not getting out on my watch. They were a prisoner. But see, no matter how much of a prisoner you are, if you're a prisoner of Jesus Christ, God will move heaven and earth to meet your need. He will open up doors you don't think that you ever walked through. Paul and Silas, even though they was beaten and cast, but yet and still they begin to pray and praise God. That's what we have to do as children of God. We are the prisoners of God because we voluntarily become his prisoner. We surrender to him. We gave our will in for his will. We gave our desire for his desire. And the Bible says that at midnight they begin to sing praise and praise God and all that. And God sent an earthquake. You see, you want to know how God is not a respected person? Even though Paul and Silas was the only ones that probably were saved in that jailhouse, what did God do? He unlocked everybody's chains. He unlocked everybody's chains. Now, they're in the back of the dungeon, and it's pitch dark. And the jailer waking up realizing, oh, man, somebody's going to escape. Somebody's going to do this. Somebody's going to run away. Bible says he drew his sword and would have killed himself. How did Paul know that everybody was still there if he couldn't see the other part of the prison? Because of the God he served. How did Paul know the jailer was going to draw his sword and was going to kill himself?
the God we serve showed it to him. That's why he cried out, do thyself no harm. We are all here. How can you say we are all here, but I can't see you over there? You see, that's what God does. When you surrender, make a commitment to him, God will do things in your life that you don't even think could ever, ever happen. God can use you to be a miracle to somebody else's life. That's why it's very important for us to know God, saints. We must know him. The way we know our wives and husband, we must know him intimately like that. His word must become a part of our life every day, that his spirit will lead and guide us, that his spirit will strengthen us and keep us. You see, Paul, in his situation, Saul, before he became Paul, he couldn't get away from what he was doing, Brother Hillstead. He was 100% committed to putting Christians to death. But he met a man named Jesus. All of us in this building today has met a man named Jesus. He changed our life, changed our way of walk, changed the way we think, changed the way we lived, changed the way that we used to speak and talk and conduct ourselves in different conversations. God is a changing God. You can't come to God and not be changed. You can't come to God and there's no change take place in your life. When you committed, as Brother Randolph said, when you surrender totally, we have looked at war movies, how that the enemy, one army is defeating the other. Next thing you know, they're throwing up a white flag, coming out with their hands up. Why? Because they know they're going to be defeated. They'd rather surrender than to be killed. Still, there's a possibility they still could lose their life. But see, that's why we need this to be witnesses. We need to be a mouthpiece for Jesus Christ. We need to share with him that all you have to do is surrender. Let it go. Release it. You wasn't built to carry the pain you're carrying. You wasn't built to go through the struggles you're going through. You wasn't built to have a mental breakdown or battle that you're facing. That's why Jesus is there in our life to help us through those situations. I'm going to share this with you, and then we're going to close. My early years in life, I don't know if I ever shared this testimony with you. Back in 1980, 81, 83, 84, 85, somewhere in there. We in Bible class. It's a little storefront church. Front door, back door, you have your sanctuary and all that. We in Bible class. The preacher's teaching and stuff. We hear a big on the back door. So we think somebody trying to, you know, want to get in. First they start at the front door. We didn't hear, nobody heard it. Nobody in church heard the knocking on the front door. Even though the pulpit was up there where the front door was, we didn't hear it. So they ran around in the back beating on the door. And start calling the wife, the pastor's wife named, Sister Newman, open up, open up. I'm middle way, so I hear it. And I'm like, man, who is this? So I go out there, I go there and open up the door. You know what I see? A man trying to rape my sister right there at the church door. You see, I didn't think that a person could snap being saved. That's the way I thought. I really didn't believe they could. I believed they had control of every situation. But when I saw that saints of God, I snapped. My wife can tell you, I really lost it. When he saw me, he ran. When I saw him, I ran. And I caught him. I was just beating him because I wasn't there. He got up and ran again. I ran him down again. I was just beating him because I wasn't there. This whole time, what I'm telling you, when you surrender to God, God can do things in your life that you don't think he could. My wife's standing there the whole time. She's seeing it. Lee, Lee, Lee. I hear nothing. I'm gone, Brother Hillstead. I'm gone. I hear nothing. And she's constantly calling. The last time he got up, he ran. I heard her say, Lee, I stopped. And I realized what I was doing. I had to repent of what I was doing. I had to ask God to forgive me. Why? Because in that moment, had I killed him, I'd have been in trouble, whether I snapped or not. That wasn't my intent. But if it would have happened, I would have been in trouble. You see, some things we think that can never happen to the saints of God can happen. It depends on where you at in your walk with God. Some things can trigger you and cause you to do things that you normally wouldn't do. And that's what happened to me. That's why I give God praise, because when I realized that, I said, God, I'm just like a normal man. I had the Holy Ghost. I could have said no. I didn't have to run after him. But what I saw triggered me. He had pulled her clothes off and trying to do this, and she beating on the door. That sent me into a rage mentally. I didn't never say a word. What I saw, I went full-fledged. So what I'm telling you, saints of God, you're not beyond what you think you are. We are still human. We have the Holy Ghost, but we are still human. We have the Spirit of Jesus Christ in us, but we are still human. That's why the Bible says the flesh war against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. It's going to take us to have the same mind that Jesus Christ had to get beyond those situations. And from that moment on, when I realized that, I repented, went to the pastor and repented and told him I was sorry. I asked God to forgive me. I begged God for his forgiveness because I knew what I was doing. Well, when I came to my senses, I realized what I had done was wrong. You see, so when I realized what I had did was wrong, then I had to make the decision, God, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I would never let that happen again. That's why when I see different situations and circumstances in life, first thing I see what happened to me before. So I don't allow that to trigger me like that. So what I'm telling you, Paul had no control over what he was doing before he was delivered. But when God changed his life, he understood that the life he was living isn't what God wanted him to do. And he became one of the great writers in the New Testament. Yes, he had his ups and downs. He had his struggles. He had his tests and his trials. He cried out to God 3 times to remove the plague in his side. God told him every time, my grace is sufficient. Saints of God, God's grace is sufficient. Hold on to the bloodstained banner and be that warrior. Put on the whole armor of God so the devil can't defeat you. Put on that whole armor so that you can stand flat-footed and wage war against him when he charged you. Amen. Thank you for being a part of the Sunday school this morning. I ask you to stand. We'll be dismissed. Hopefully I said something that has encouraged you, have enlightened you on some things that will help you to know who God is more in an intimate way. Father, we thank you. We give you praise, glory, and honor for what you have done and how you bless us today to study your word and to know your word. Bless these, your people that is here. Help us to be a witness in this day and time, to be a mouthpiece for you, to share with those what we have experienced in life. We pray that the service on today, God, will glorify you and honor you. Bless the praise and the worship. Bless the word. Bless the body of Christ. Give us strength to give you glory on this day. Bless those that come through the door that are not saved, that they can receive salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.